Hi, this is The Deep End. I'm your host, Mark Kleinschmidt. We're coming to you today from WCHL Studios at University Place here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You know, every week on the show, I invite guests in and we dig deep or dive into the deep end on an important issue that is of interest to people here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. Today, I want to talk a little bit about this medium that you're listening to me on right now, radio, and talk about that medium that you may have picked up this morning from your driveway if you're listening to us on Sunday, the print news. I want to talk about how it is that people in Chapel Hill and Orange County get their information. This has been a subject that's been in the news a lot lately because of concerns about whether we're getting good information from our news outlets and whether our news outlets nationally and locally are even equipped to provide us with the information we need to make good decisions about how we live our lives, how we go about how we do our jobs, who we vote for. All those things are in question today as concerns about fake news are overriding our Twitter feeds and our Facebook news feeds. You know, this is a whole new day, and I wonder whether or not we're actually prepared for the way news operates. I remember when I first came to Chapel Hill back in the late 80s, there was talk of a newspaper war. There were too many news outlets in our town of Chapel Hill. There was a Chapel Hill News, which was independent of the News and Observer, and a Chapel Hill Herald. We had a Daily Tar Heel. We had two weeklies that covered the whole triangle but focused a lot on Chapel Hill, the Spectator and the Independent Weekly. And we had our hometown radio station, WCHL. Every one of them competing for the eyes and ears of the people of our community. And because of that competition, the quality of the news was probably at its height. Now, I say that even at the risk of looking into the faces of my two guests here today, who happen to be people who bring you the news today. Here with me in the studio is Chapel Hill News reporter, longtime Chapel Hill News reporter, Tammy Grubb. Hey, Tammy, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for inviting me to be here. I appreciate it.
And I also have WCHL's own Aaron Keck, who you can hear every day, weekday, 3 o'clock, 3 to 6 o'clock on Aaron in the Afternoon. Welcome, Aaron. I'm
Thank
glad to have
you
here.
Thank you so much. I look forward to dishing a whole bunch of gossip about WCHL right here on our own airwaves.
Well, that's what I want to do. That's what I want. That's what we're all hoping for. Get some insight now on how you make do. So Tammy, you heard me talk about the newspaper wars that we had in the 80s. It almost seemed like there was just too much print media. Today, your paper is dropped in my driveway twice a week for free on Wednesdays and Sundays. And unfortunately, the articles that I see from you, I've already read before because I'd already seen your work online or I'd seen it in the News and Observer. Great work that you're doing, but it seems like you're the only print reporter that our town has left. How do you do it? In this, if those were the days, if yesteryear were the days of the newspaper wars, is this a post-apocalyptic news world?
That's an interesting way to look at it. But you do make a good point about social media. That's really been the driving force. We've had cutbacks. Advertising drives our budgets, and advertising drops off with more people going to social media for that. And then we also have our own drive towards social media, trying to accommodate to a new landscape. So in some ways, it is post-apocalyptic. The bomb already exploded.
And you're just having to make
we're
do.
We're picking up the pieces.
Well, how does that affect what you write about? Because I would imagine if you're worried about and concerned rightfully about revenue streams and making sure that that you have the money to pay your salaries to print the newspaper every week and such, that it's – I guess there's some tension between how deep a dive you take into a news story, how much time you give to it, how many people you talk to before you commit to writing a piece, versus creating something quick and that can be used as good clickbait on Facebook. How do you resolve that?
Yeah, it's a constant battle. Mark, my editor, and I are pretty much the newsroom around here, and I don't know of any other print media that's active in this area. We do have some that come in occasionally. But every week we look at what we've got and what's going on, and we pick what we think are the most important things that we can get to. And, of course, with meetings being on video now, we can go back and we can look at those two and be in two places at once. So it's, you know, it's a constant battle. And then we do look, too, at changing our model on a regular basis. One thing we've talked about is not doing on-the-spot news for those types of things, but picking out the things that are most impactful to the community and then diving deeper into those so we can still do that kind of in-depth reporting that people expect from us.
Well, I know that's been a long tradition of Chapel Hill News. It has been a place where you would traditionally go to for a longer story, for some more in-depth reporting. Now, Aaron, you have to do a radio show every single day. Your radio station has at least 6 hours of live news time dedicated each day. You don't get the opportunity that Tammy described, like just going back to the tape and looking at. How do you generate even enough content to do that in this environment?
It's really interesting, and this is definitely the case with just the difference between the two mediums in general. Because with the newspaper, the advantage of the newspaper, the disadvantage is speed, especially now with social media. You can get breaking news literally in an instant, and that affects the way that every other medium covers the news. The advantage with the newspaper is you get the opportunity to take the deep dives in a way that you don't get and never got with radio or television. So what we do is we try to be the blanket. We try to cover the surface of everything, make sure that we're in as many places as possible, covering the gist of the news and letting other news outlets like The Independent and the Chapel Hill News and sort of other media outlets take the deeper dives and do the investigative reporting, which we don't have either the time or the staff for. Now, the problem is those other media outlets that have historically done the deep dives and the investigative reporting are also losing staff. So they, in a lot of cases, don't have the staff to take the deep dives that we rely on them for. And that's not just the rise of social media. That's also the fact that happened in the context of a recession, which both together led to a decline in advertising revenue and has put that downward pressure on staffs at media outlets all over the country.
And when you don't have that competition, you know, Tammy, when you don't have a Chapel Hill Herald that you're competing for as far as the eyes of citizens here in Chapel Hill, or Aaron, you don't have other radio news, kind of spot news outlets competing with you. I mean, who's doing the fact checking? I mean, you bring up The Independent, and they did some reporting before the election that I thought was just, I don't know, borderline dangerous because of its lack of fact checking and it's just assumption of things of falsehoods. But I'm going to leave that hanging I'm going to let you address that as soon as we get back from the break. Hey, we're back here on The Deep End. I'm your host, Mark Kleinschmidt. I've been having a great conversation with Chapel Hill News reporter Tammy Grubb and WCHL radio personality Aaron Keck. Let's call him that for now.
What we're going with? Okay. Now I got to be super exciting. All right.
So I dropped a bomb. I was critical of a local – just before the break, I was critical of another local print media outlet. I think that they did some – in my opinion, they did some not – they didn't do their best work in the weeks leading up to our last election. That's my opinion. But even if you don't agree with that, there's got to be some truth in the fact that now that that our media outlets really lack a lot of competition. I mean, even the two of you, you've already described different approaches to the way you deal with news stories, either taking the time to do longer, more in-depth stories, or trying to get to the meat of things, as you described, Tammy, or Aaron, you talked about the need to be able to get quick content, get a lot of it every single day. So you kind of have a synergistic way, but you're not competitors. You're not fact checking each other. You don't have direct competitors in the print or the radio world. How does that affect the trust that our news consumers should have in the news outlets, media outlets that we have here?
Well, I think the trust is still there. I think we do as good of a job as we can with the resources we have. You know, we make mistakes, but at the same time, you're your own fact checker. So if you don't get it right, you have nobody else to blame but yourself. And when you get it wrong too many times, you lose that readership or that viewership, listenership.
Yeah, it's that level of prestige that I think every news outlet relies on, that sense of being a trustworthy outlet. So if you make enough mistakes, then you lose that trustworthiness. It's really hard to get it back. So that's that, if anything, is the check, I think. I think it's not so much the fact that there aren't any competitors for WCHL, the Chapel Hill News, because we're professionals. We want to do the best job we can, regardless of whether there's a competitor or not. I think if there's any significant pressure on a news outlet that leads to more mistakes or more errors, it's going back to the rise of the 24-hour news cycle and the rise of social media. The fact that if you don't get something out there immediately, then you're going to get scooped by Twitter and Facebook and social media and some other station.
Definitely.
So there's that incentive to rush to the airwaves or rush to print with something without necessarily taking the time to fact check. That's the downward pressure.
Yeah. I mean, the source of news, it seems to come directly from the horse's mouth now, right? I mean, direct from Donald Trump, or even I will tell you, in 2009, I think it was 2009 when I first ran for mayor, or maybe it was 2011 when I ran for re-election, one of the two, I actually made that announcement on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the And Tammy, your boss, Mark Schultz over at Chapel Hill News, called me up and said, are you going to issue a press release about running? I said, I've already made my announcement on Twitter. And I think this was 2009. And he had he's like, I don't think we're really monitoring Twitter right now.
Tammy, things have changed.
Now there are news outlets that do nothing but.
Yeah. Yeah. Twitter's is on all day long and constantly at least checking, if not checking in. With Twitter and Facebook. And Mark runs a regular Facebook dialogue now about our stories. He'll post them. And his page is more popular than ours, I think. Mark Schultz on Facebook and the Chapel News on Facebook. But
and he'll invite people. He'll invite people to become friends with him or follow him on Facebook.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
And
he'll accept everybody
to comment on on stories or give or provide tips or things like that. And I know you've gotten a lot of great leads and comments and feedback that way.
Those comments often show up in our paper on our letters page. So that's really kind of added to that dialogue too. We're trying to find new ways to mesh it together, just like the radio station is.
And I think what that means is that social media is neither a good nor a bad thing. It just is. It has advantages. It has disadvantages, pros and cons. It's just the new way of doing business. I think if you are a consumer of news and you're seeking trustworthy information, the way to do it is to seek out multiple sources. Don't just rely on one source of news. Fact check that outlet. Look for other sources. And that's the case in 2016. It's going to be the case in 2039. It was the case in 1984.
So we can't just rely on your professionalism, right? I mean, we can't. I mean, both of you come from reputable local media outlets. And you certainly have the respect, I think, of the news consumers here in our community. But Aaron, you just said a few minutes ago, you know, we don't have any direct competitors. We do the best we can with or without competitors. And, you know, we're just going to remain professional. I mean, if I would have if that would have been my answer to the question in 2013 to either of you, when you asked me, so Mark, don't you think you really need a competitor when you're running for re-election? I mean, isn't that what democracy is all about? I mean, what would you have said, Tammy, if I would have just said, well, look, I'm doing the best I can. I don't really need competition in an election.
Everyone in when all of Carrboro ran for re-election unopposed, they were super proud about it. They posted that picture on Facebook. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the way our democracy and our media should work?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but sometimes that's the reality of it. You know, our recent legislative election, there were a lot of races you would have thought there would be a competitor in because of the issues in hand, especially with HB2. And like we were talking about earlier, there weren't any.
Yeah. And it's a combination of a couple of things. You want democracy to be competitive. You want the market to be competitive. You don't want monopolies. Occasionally, you have situations where there are, for whatever reason. Either you had a bunch of competitors that fell by the wayside or something else happens. So there's an extent to which you do. And it's the case with the mayor of Chapel Hill if you run unopposed in 2013 or the Board of Aldermen in Carrboro, if they run unopposed in 2015, you do rely on their professionalism.
Yeah. Right.
And you can say that, but we're going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, certainly the people helped me to it.
Yeah.
in 2015. Yeah. So we've talked about how print media has really kind of whittled itself down to just a skeleton crew. I think we've mentioned that about CHL. You don't really work with a huge news gathering staff here at the radio station either. That's got to mean that there are some stories, important stories or viewpoints that aren't being carried anywhere, either at the newspaper or on the radio. I imagine, Aaron, you have time constraints. Tammy, you have column inch constraints. What are those things that we really should be talking more about? In a general or more specific sense, what's not being covered because we don't have as robust a media community as maybe we would like?
Well, I think there are some things that don't get covered. Generally, it's those more interesting human aspects of our community that sort of get shunted to the wayside because in the scheme of things, do they affect as many people? No. So you pick what is really going to affect the most people who are looking to you for information.
I think we could be taking a deeper dive into the larger sort of overarching issues that are affecting our community, like poverty, development, taxes, transportation.
Transit.
We're going to be talking about light rail. And we were already talking about we've got a pair of meetings coming up on, what is it, Monday. Where town council is in one town talking about Legion Road and the county commissioners are at another part of the county at exactly the same time talking about transit, and both of those are extremely huge issues. It's important to remember, and I know we've got to wrap up in just a second, that if it bleeds, it leads. And we all, every news outlet looks at what gets the most clicks, what gets the highest ratings, what gets the most page views and sales, and we know what it is.
Well, we're up against a break right now, but we'll continue our conversation right after this. And we're back on the Deep End here on WCHL 97.9, 1360 AM, 97.9 FM. We've been having a great conversation with Chapel Hill News reporter Tammy Grubb and WCHL reporter Aaron Keck. One of the things I'm wondering about is, I had a friend who used to work for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. She right out of college back in the mid-1990s. She was a great she was worked for the DTH. She was so excited about getting on such a great paper. Now that paper is completely online, and she doesn't work there anymore. I don't think they have anybody covering features, and they just get filler content for a feature section. So I was wondering, what about the future of our media outlets? Tammy, is there going to be a Chapel Hill News delivered to my driveway every Wednesday and Sunday 5 years from now or 10 years from now?
Well, I think it's hard to say. I think it's going to be a different model, and that's not the only paper that's gone to completely online. The Philadelphia Inquirer went earlier this year completely online, got rid of its print paper. And it's something that we've talked about as a media outlet, McClatchy, going more to online, social media, and getting things out there rapidly. And
McClatchy is a digital-first.
It is. It is digital-first.
Right?
It says Nando on our front door.
Right.
So we're already making that transition, and things keep happening every couple of weeks, it seems like, that head more in that direction. So I don't know that we're going to have a print paper on paper. We may have, the digital model where you can get a digital paper delivered to your computer screen and you can flip the pages with your mouse.
Oh, that might be interesting.
Yeah, our e-edition.
At least for old school people like me.
You can feel like you're still reading the paper.
Right. Aaron, is there still going to be a CHL? I mean, I think this station has, let's be honest, it's struggled over the last 10, 15 years to be able to maintain its identity as a local-focused news outlet. And, what's going to be happening here?
And exactly the same thing as Tammy. We don't know the future, and there's no way to predict it. But WCHL and the Chapel Hill News, too, have weathered a whole bunch of crises and recessions and changes. If you've been around Chapel Hill long enough, there was a period in the 90s when WCHL, for all practical purposes, didn't exist. It was sold to a syndicate. It disappeared, and then it came back. And then we went through a bankruptcy scare, and we've come back from that, and we have new local ownership, and we right now are excited about the future, but it is all about generating revenue. It's all about ratings, and that's a two-way street. We know what gets the ratings, because we can look at these things. We know what gets the clicks and the page views, and that depends on the consumers to tell us what they want to hear. Whatever you tune into, whatever you click on, that's what we'll see, and that's what we'll replicate in the future. So we know what gets the clicks on WCHL. It's crime stories, it's drug stories, and it's yelling at the General Assembly about House Bill 2. And if that's not what you like, if you want to see different stuff, go to the media outlet, find the stuff, click on it, and that tells – that sends the message.
Yeah, that's – I mean, you might have noticed we don't have a dedicated sports section in our paper in the recent weeks, and that's mainly because – we didn't get a lot of clicks on it.
And we always will, because we do get a lot of clicks on it.
And I guess it, you know, the Chapel Hill News comes out a couple times a week, but the radio station has its it's updating every day, and you're running the news stories every – you're creating new news stories every day. So it makes a difference. Well, both of you.
And I will say we have started updating every day with some of our stories.
Well,
don't tune in just on Wednesdays and Sundays.
ChapelHillNews.com.
I want to encourage everybody
to
read, visit the website.
And ChapelBurrow.com.
And to join us again next week here on The Deep End. I want to thank Tammy and Aaron for being here, and I hope that we can make this a regular feature of the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Mark.